We'll bring you the March 8, 2013 edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this Rain Report. As the decades have slipped into obscurity, more and more software has been written for amateur radio application. Too complicated to write such software, you say? Not so, especially if you're 14-year-old Danny McReynolds, KD0ILX. Danny read his technical paper, Writing Your Own Radio Control Software, before the Youth Forum at the 2012 Dayton Hamvention.
Hello and welcome to the 2012 Youth Forum. I have a question for you. Have you ever built a radio from scratch? Have you done it lately? Ham operators have a tradition of building, experimenting, and innovating. But the miniaturization of components, it's getting more difficult to build hardware all the time. Instead of concentrating on building radios, maybe it's time to start building software instead. My presentation will show you how easy it is to write your own radio control software. My name is Dan McReynolds. My call sign is KD0ILX. I live in Overland Park, Kansas, with my brother, Robbie, KC0SVA, my dad, ND0Y, and my mom. So why should we bother learning how to write software? Isn't there plenty of software available already? First, modern radios are equipped with a computer port that allows you to easily attach a computer to the radio. The radios are now so complex they cannot be homebrewed. Since the radio manufacturers supply us with an easy way to communicate with the equipment, we're almost obligated to do so. While there are many ways to do this, you'll find it very easy to write your own software using readily available programming languages, which you can easily download for free, and as an added bonus, you may even learn something. So we know that we can connect our radios and computers. We know that we can download the programming environment to use. What's next? First, think of what you'd like your radio to be able to do. Start simply. It's easy to add features later. Let's make sure we can walk before we try to run. After you've put together your dream list, go to Microsoft.com and search for Visual Basic Express Edition. You can download it for free, and it's very easy to use. You can choose a variety of Visual Basic to download. Be sure to choose the Windows Development version. Download the program and follow the simple installation. On a piece of paper, lay out your screen design. Don't worry about writing any code yet. Your next challenge will be to find control codes that your radio uses. There are many commands that the radio expects to receive from your computer to instruct it to perform the functions that you desire. Each manufacturer uses different codes, so you'll have to do a little detective work. Remember, Google is your friend. Once you've downloaded the software, designed your screen, and obtained the control codes for your radio, you're ready to begin communicating with it. Connect your computer to the radio using a serial cable or whatever arrangement your particular equipment needs. You will start by writing a very simple function to ensure that the radio and computer are talking to each other. Choose something like turning the radio's backlight on and off. You're not looking for something spectacular, you just want to make sure that everything's working and connected. After that, you'll write some more useful functions. After you're sure that the radio and computer are communicating, you can add some more abilities to your program. How about switching modes? You could use a drop-down list box with AM, FM, and single sideband as choices. You could write a function that will let you type a frequency into a box and then send that frequency to the radio. You might write functions that allow the radio to talk back to the computer, telling the computer how the radio is currently set to operate. Do you see how we're starting simply and getting more complex? On and off, then choose from a list, and then send a parameter, then listen to the radio talk. Remember, walk before you run. When writing your own software, we use a technique called object-oriented programming. The basic idea is to model the physical radio on your desk with a software version of the radio. This software version won't have knobs, dials, or switches, and there won't be a picture of the front panel. But all the capabilities of the radio will still be there. When we write our program, there are three main sections. The first is the code for a structure called a class, where we define the characteristics that we want our virtual radio to have. For example, if our real radio is able to switch modes between AM, FM, and single sideband, we can model this in our class. If you want our software radio to be able to turn on filters, change bands, change frequencies, or anything else the real radio is capable of, we can model these abilities in the class using the specific control codes for that radio. The second main section of our program is the screen, or user interface window, that our user will see and interact with. It will contain text boxes, checkboxes, buttons, and other controls. The final section of the program is the code that goes with the user interface window. This code makes all of the screen controls work as we want them to. The class code will be made visible to the main screen code so that the main screen knows what control codes need to be sent to the desktop radio when the various buttons are clicked. One of the biggest advantages of writing code this way is that the class only contains code to describe the abilities of the radio. There is no user interface, such as buttons, switches, or displays. Another huge advantage is that if you want more than one radio, you can easily create a second class to represent that one. Its class will only contain code to model the abilities of the second radio. The main difference between the classes will be the control codes that each radio expects to receive to perform the functions you desire. If you have two radios made by the same manufacturers, they will likely use the same control codes. Radios by different manufacturers usually use different codes, but the codes are integrated into a specific radio's class, so each class is very modular.
You're listening to high school student Danny McReynolds, KD0ILX, reading his technical paper, Writing Your Own Radio Control Software. Danny will conclude his 2012 Dayton Hamvention Youth Forum presentation in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, archives of which, going back to 2006, can be transmitted in their entirety from the archive page on therainreport.com.
By switching in a different class to the main code window, you can use the same interface window with its buttons, boxes, and switches to control a different radio without having to redesign the entire program. This way, you will have a consistent user interface that you can control as many radios as you have written classes for. Let me show you an example. Here's a simple screen design. I used a checkbox for the backlight. It's either on or off. Very simple. When you click the checkbox, the program will send the appropriate control code, which we defined in the class, to the radio. Below the checkbox is a box for typing in a frequency. When you press enter, you'll have the computer send the frequency and the appropriate control code for changing frequencies to the radio. There's also an exit button to close the program when you're done using it. Closing the program is not related to the radio, so there's no control code involved. You just simply close the serial port in the main code window and shut down the program. Visual Basic also provides many other controls that you can use when creating your screen design. You might use round option buttons to switch the radio from one mode to another. You might use a scroll bar to control volume or squelch settings. You might use buttons to choose from several memory channels. The possibilities are almost endless. Remember, these are the kind of things that you should have drawn in your initial screen design. As your programming skill improves, you might find that using Excel to store your favorite frequencies is an easy way to quickly load up as many memories as you'd like in your program. I started by giving the class a name, in this case, BC245. Then I've coded two properties, one called backlight and one called frequency. You'd repeat this type of code for each property or characteristic of the radio that you wanted to model. Some properties might be on or off settings, while the others might need information, such as a frequency sent them to work correctly. Some others, such as filter settings, might need a choice made from a set of possibilities. All of this has to be considered ahead of time. Once our class is created, we create an instance of the class in our main code window, My Radio in this example. Then start using the properties and methods that we wrote in our class. Using the backlight property is pretty simple. It's either on or off, so a checkbox works well as a control for this. The frequency property is a little more complicated because you have to type the frequency into a box and then send those digits plus the correct control code to the radio when the user presses enter. In this example, There is some code to send the letters, LTN and LTF, to turn the radio backlight on or off. These letters are the control codes that this particular radio expects to be sent to the backlight. There is also some code to open and close a computer serial port and be able to talk to the radio, as well as some code to send the frequency to the radio that was entered in the box on the screen when you press enter. I'm using the control code RF plus the frequency from the box, followed by the enter key. The last piece of code shuts down the program. When you click the exit button, obtaining the control codes for each radio is critical to being able to write your own radio control software. Your radio might also have the ability to set an attenuator, activate an antenna tuner, or other features. These should have properties written into the class before using them here in the main code window. How about combining some features? You could automatically set CW mode and the frequency entered is in the CW portion of the band, or automatically choose the transmit frequency when a receive frequency was entered for a 2-meter radio. Obviously, I can't cover everything that needs to be done today in the short time I have here, but this simple example should give you a good idea of what it takes to write your own control software. What else could you do? How about storing your favorite frequencies in a small database and using them as memories? Look at the buttons on your radio. Probably each one of those has a control code that goes with it. Writing your own software is cheap, fun, and useful, and you can have your radio do anything that you'd like. You're only limited by your imagination and your programming creativity. Since you're a ham operator, you're practically obligated to experiment and create. Maybe building radios is too expensive and complex now, but that shouldn't keep you from experimenting and learning. I hope you take this idea and run with it. You'll be glad you did. Oh, and one more thing. Thank you for your attention.
Fourteen-year-old Danny McReynolds, KD0ILX, reading his technical paper that presented some basics on writing your own radio control software at the Youth Forum during the 2012 Dayton Hamvention. Personally speaking, it's less than 2 months to the next Dayton Hamvention and its Youth Forum, where you'll be able to hear more youngsters speak about their ham radio experiences. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2013 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from all of us at The Rain Report. www.therainreport.com